Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ross Dillinger, The Advocate in TheAdvocate.com, joins Christian Garrick and myself, Deke Bellaby, here on Saints Radio and Tiger Radio, WWL. Ross, thank you so much for the time. The Troy Trojans coming to town for LSU. One thing I wanted to ask you, we talked to this, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com, Brian Lazar, many other people that cover the team. And I think it's kind of a broad question that you could apply to anybody, any level, high school, college, pro, anything. What is your take, Ross, on earlier this week when Coach O said Monday that Rashard Lawrence was out and, you know, we hope to have him ready for Florida and hopefully he could practice Florida, but he said Darius Geis would be out again, and then he also kind of cautioned and paused and said, you know, I told you all that last week. He didn't practice any, and then he comes to us Thursday and said he can play, and he played, and now he's more hurt, and come back this past Monday, he said he wasn't going to play. But my question is to you, traditionally, historically, coaches have a rule, look, you got to practice Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, maybe or Thursday, at least a day to kind of be ready. And he didn't play or practice last week, and he made the call about being able to play. Isn't that a coach's call? Shouldn't that be the coach's call on that?
Yeah, you know, we saw something like that, I'm sure y'all remember last year against Florida. Leonard Fournette didn't practice all week. And then before the game, there was that scuffle between Florida and LSU players, and Fournette went to Orgeron in the locker room and asked him if he could suit up and play, and he said, yeah. So this is kind of a history, and Ed Orgeron is certainly somebody who is more on the player's level than like a Les Miles and more of kind of that player's coach, guy, and I know that's a cliche, but he kind of is, and I think this just kind of proves it. You know, he's a guy that, especially when it comes to a player like specifically a Darius, I mean, those guys are like father and son, those two. I mean, they're really close. So what Darius kind of wants is kind of what Ed Orgeron, I think, is going to give him. And if the doctors clear him, he's going to let him go. Now, this week, you know, looking forward here to this game, he has not practiced Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And, you know, Ed Orgeron sounded really, really doubtful Monday that he would play, even more doubtful than the last week. So I wouldn't expect him to play, and I wouldn't expect Rashard Lawrence to play. But, you know, you never know.
Ross, last week the LSU Tigers were heavy favorites over Syracuse. They didn't cover. They're heavy favorites again this week against Troy. Is this a team that's still kind of searching, trying to find their identity?
Yeah, definitely. You know, offensively, and I mean, in a way, defensively as well. The thing is, this offense is a fairly veteran unit. I mean, they are inexperienced at places, but they are older. I mean, they have a lot of old guys, a lot of fifth-year seniors, a lot of fourth-year juniors. So, I don't think. I mean, I know it's a new offense, but I think people were expecting such a veteran team, offensively at least, to, you know, open up with an identity or at least have one after the first month. And you know, we're not seeing that. Defense is a little different. I mean, that team is very young and not just inexperienced like in some places on offense. That team is young, that side of the ball is young and inexperienced. But offensively, it's kind of a concern. And I'll tell you guys, you're gonna see some changes on LSU's offense this game. They've gone, or Ed Orgeron has hinted to it a little bit about how LSU is simplifying some things offensively, maybe with the motions and shifting and the offensive line blocking and things like that. You're gonna see some changes on that field Saturday.
Ross Dillinger, The Advocate, and TheAdvocate.com, covering LSU athletics, talking about Tiger football team, a 19-point favorite Saturday night in Death Valley against the Troy Trojans, who come in at 3-1, winners of three straight after suffering a 24-13 loss to Boise State in week one. And Coach Neil Brown comes in, and some of these numbers that are interesting is, you know, you can kind of point them out on any team. 11 straight wins when they get 400 yards or more total offense. They're averaging right about 500, Ross. And they are, in last three seasons, this is a good stat, they're 12-0 when they rush for 150 yards or more. Now, to me, that's telling. And this is a Troy team, and look, different times. But in the previous two trips to Tiger Stadium, I mean, one was a 30-point lead, and the other, LSU, you know, kind of lighthearted, whatever you want to say, went around, and then they put Troy away very late. This team is going to come in here thinking they got a chance to win, and going by their, you know, their last two outings in Tiger Stadium, why wouldn't they?
Right. I mean, in 08, they had a 31-3 lead, I think, late in the third quarter. And sure, it's a different team, but this LSU team is different, too. And, in fact, I think a lot of people probably would compare the 08 LSU team, which went 8-5, to maybe this team as far as what you might think they would end the season with as far as a record. So this is going to be a toughie. There's no doubt. And Troy has, you know, last two times they've come here, I think they combined – margin of victory for LSU is something like 15 or 10 or 15 points or something. I mean, it's been really close. And I'll be honest, LSU is still searching offensively, and they're so young and inexperienced on defense and have so many guys out. This has kind of the feeling of the makeup for a really close game, you know. And maybe LSU makes a big defensive play late in the lead goes from 3 or 5 points to 10 or 12 or something. But, you know, they're going to probably need that big defensive play from their defense because this is a Troy team that sure seems like it knows what it's doing. I think it was picked second in the Sun Belt.
Yes.
Finished second this year. So they're very, very real possibility that be going into the fourth quarter with a somewhat, you know, close game.
Ross, you know, obviously you can't simulate things on the practice field because I look at LSU, they work with it, and we asked Coach Otis, I asked him about the officiating and kind of wondering, you know, what was the missing part of the equation because LSU had first three games averaging 10 penalties and 91 yards and penalty yards per contest, and they got the officials there every day, and it's kind of like, okay, well, what's going on here? Are the officials not calling it correctly? They're not translating from the player to the official, coach to player, and then on to Saturday night, a difference. But they did play a clean game last week, and to my point to that, because you can't really simulate till you get out there, why do you think that they you're not even, basically half the season yet and simplifying offense and doing things differently after the spring, this camp, summer camp and '04, is it the players having opportunity to not maybe fully grasp what Coach Canada wants them to do? That to me, you know, poor performance, things like that, I mean, you kind of look at stuff, but them not grasping or you know, having to simplify some things, I thought that's what they were doing all along when he came here.
Yeah, that's been a kind of a mystery. You know, Matt Canada came in and he preached that his offense was really easy. And, in fact, at the coach's clinic in the spring, he said that it was the easiest in America. And then you start talking to players in the spring, and then you talk to players in the summer, and then you talk to players in the fall. And they didn't really have that kind of answer. You know, they didn't come out and say it was really difficult. But you could tell by some of their statements. I mean, in the middle of July, Darius Geis at SEC Media Day said the offense still sometimes confuses us. So that was after spring and after summer. So something's going on, you know. And then you rewatch some of the games and you watch the offensive line. There's so many miscommunications and missed blocks that you got to wonder – these guys, especially on the line, just not getting it. And that's why I think you're going to see some changes this week. And I think you saw changes in practice. They are, dumbing down the offense, so to speak. They are simplifying things, especially on the line, so they don't have those, you know, those miscommunications. And I think the penalties were right along with it as well. I think that was part of the problem as well. So, but for whatever reason, you know, they haven't been able to grasp it well enough in their, you know, 4 weeks into the year. We're already seeing some tweaks and changes.
Wrapping down, one more question with Ross Dillinger of The Advocate and TheAdvocate.com, one of the best at covering team athletics. Of course, Ross is out west covering Missouri in a capacity, now here in the south covering LSU in the SEC, all LSU athletics. Ross, I think something that the Tiger fans probably, well, you know, going into this season kind of expected, well, we know the defense, especially under Coach Canada, is going to carry us until the offense comes around. Then under Coach Miles, the offense would kind of come around, but they never would, I don't know, fully develop. A whole other thing about the quarterback. But what LSU has done defensively this year, and other teams give them credit, it's hard for me not to think about the depth, you know, what they have, what came back, and also what they lost, you know, in the form of draft. But, I mean, I see a young Patrick Peterson out there in Greedy Williams. I mean, right now he wouldn't be freshman All-American. He'd be first-team All-American for what he's done in the first handful of games of the season. Why do you think the defense has given up so much? And let's face it, the opponents haven't been near what they're getting ready to be.
Well, I think Ed Orgeron kind of was getting everybody ready, I think, for this during the preseason. He made sure to tell us all multiple times that there would be growing pains on defense because of the youth. You know, they lost 7-8 starters, including, four or five players drafted, mm-hmm. two in the first round. So you knew you were going to have growing pains. Ed Orgeron talked about it at length during preseason, and we've seen it, you know. We've seen some busted coverages from the secondary. We've seen some misplays from some of those edge rushers when it comes to outside containment. And then, in the middle, you started a true freshman, an inside linebacker for two games, you know, because Donnie Alexander was suspended for both of them. So that is an issue. I mean, that's a rarity in college football, a true freshman at inside linebacker, such an important position. So the youth is, I think, a big part of it. But also, look at the guys that you entered the season counting on for LSU overall. You know, Darius Geis and Arden Key. And right. Those two guys have been very much limited, and that has really hurt this team.
Ross Dillinger. Ross, let everybody know what's coming up in tomorrow's edition. Game day is phenomenal. I make sure I have a copy of it for me and Herb every Saturday. And I don't take two, Ross. I pay for two of them. I'll let you know that. You know, that's still the honor code.
That's his salary,
man.
In the old paper box there.
But tell everybody what you got coming up on Friday and also how they keep up with you on social media.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll have a feature on LSU's punter, Zach Von Rosenberg. He's 27 years old.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting story. And you talked about Greedy a little bit. Greedy Williams, we just got back actually in town a couple hours ago from spending a day or so in Shreveport with his family, and so we'll have a big profile of Greedy Williams. Yeah.
And Ross, if I'm correct now, I'm probably wrong on the number, but Zach was a guy that was so close to coming to LSU, but because he had that scholarship and, you know, he had that bargaining chip for Major League Baseball, okay, so what are you going to do if you don't come here? Well, I'm going to pitch for, you know, at that time, it was a team they either won the championship or getting ready to when, you know, '08 when they played Texas. But he got a huge, I want to say at that time, for where he was drafted, one of the highest signing bonuses for where he was drafted at exactly. And they, under Coach Cassard, they made a tremendous run. But a 27-year-old punter, very mature. But this guy, he's an athlete, though.
Yeah, he is. He walked on here in January 2016. He re-enrolled in school, walked on as a tight end. So that
I think that's great.
What they bonuses.
Ross Dillinger. Ross, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. We will talk to you on game day.
All right, thanks, y'all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.